welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Right, okay, hello, welcome to episode 311 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal Sean Orford. You actually slurping down your coffee?
I am, very good coffee it is too.
Black no sugar. Just in case.
It's my middle name.
In case Sean's ever around at your gaff. That's how he likes it.
I like it.
That's how he likes it. That's what he's got.
That's the way.
We're talking about nothing today, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going to not talk at all.
Yeah. I did actually think we could just have 30 minutes of silence. Maybe we should just talk for 5 minutes and then...
Just shut up.
Shut up and then but tell everyone to listen to the entirety. As
of the silence.
A kind of a practical experiment. So we are going to talk about nothing, but we will talk about something. Because nothing is something, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the famous line from Seinfeld. Nothing is something.
And that's always true. It's like the idea of meditating, people think is doing nothing, but it's actually, meditating is actually the ability of doing something, but doing it constructively.
Yeah, reducing the activity in your brain to as close to nothing as you can, I guess.
Yeah.
Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. All the show notes and links are in there. Take a look at all previous episodes too. Do sign up for the mailing list so you get alerts for the show. You get your free meditation files, which we should probably push more than we usually do. Morning and evening relaxation focus.
Indeed.
MP3s.
That you do every day.
Yeah. I meditate and do nothing in other ways. Actually, I'm not very good at doing nothing. We'll come on to that. Well, I'm going to ask you what you've been up to, and yours says busy, 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 so you're not very good at doing nothing right now.
Well, it's to do with the madness of life, and also madness of family, madness of work. And it's like, there's times when it can be kind of relentless and never-ending. And we'll come on to this, but I mean, I've been being busy, busy, busy. But on the weekend, we went for a walk in the woods.
Yeah, Delamere.
Which is great.
Beautiful spot.
Yeah. And I had a little experience in there, which I'll come back to.
Come on to.
Which was good.
But yeah, you're busy. You've got lots going on.
Yeah, mad. Bonkers.
The world's going crazy, isn't it, man? Yeah. It's speeding up, which seems to be anyway. Busy for me as well. I just want to give a shout out for Birkenhead, which was looking brilliant in the sun yesterday evening or afternoon and evening. There was a bike race in Hamilton Square.
Right.
Tour of Britain, Ovo Sport. It was like a sprint race. So I actually got to ride the track as well in the afternoon.
Right.
Just in my jeans and a shirt. Someone shouted, "Where's your helmet, lad?" But that was good fun. But it was great then seeing Birkenhead.
Where was your helmet, lad?
It was actually around my handlebar.
That's really useful. Yeah. That's really effective use of a helmet. That.
Yeah. We could do a whole episode about the helmet debate, because whenever I put someone on Twitter, it doesn't take long for someone to kind of pipe up about helmets.
Helmet and yellow vests.
Yeah, and eyevis and all that stuff. Yeah, okay. I don't want to talk about that now. Flipping heck. I've got Mike could set up a whole other podcast about that. But yeah, just a shout out to Birkenhead for looking brilliant. Because it's a bit of a bad reputation, a bad rap Birkenhead, but
yeah,
I believe in that town. I think it's got a bright future.
Yeah,
if we do a few certain things. Should we move on to the show?
Yeah.
So do you want to talk about what triggered this interesting nothing?
It's an ongoing thing that I work with, because people either suffer from work-related stress or kind of personal-related stress.
Yeah.
And very often the stress is about doing, and never stopping and being. When you do a bit of meditation, it's true that you do get a kind of an oasis in the madness of the day, even if it's for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or luckily like half an hour if you can.
Yeah.
But the issue about doing, and the joke always is, are we human beings or human doings? Because we're always doing. And when do you stop? And it's like the only time in living memory that I've stopped recently was when we went away to the Cotswolds a few weekends ago. And we actually spent an afternoon or so sat in front of a fire that wasn't on, reading books. And we'd actually stopped. And it's so hard to find that space.
Mm.
So, but the bit that triggered me into thinking about it was we went for the walk in the woods and Dunham here, and Mark, Ree's brother, came with us, Marky Parky.
Lovely guy.
And, the others had all wandered off, and he and I were left by one of the mirrors and sat down on a bench, and he's staring out across, and he lives a busy life, and he was staring out across the water and saying, this is so amazing. And he was listening to the sound of the birds and the wind in the trees and stuff. And he was saying, this is so lovely, I never get the opportunity to do this. I really need to come out here. So I'm going to come out here next weekend, just me, and just sit here for a couple of hours and just be.
Wow.
And that sense of just being, and just being without having anything to do. And like the magic phrase for me is, nobody wants anything and nobody needs anything. And the problem in my life, I guess in lots of people's lives, is that there's always somebody that wants something. There's always someone that needs something. There's always something that needs to be done. And actually, doesn't. You know, it's us that make the importance of everything that needs to be done. And I was thinking about hunter-gatherers, about the idea of having feast and famine. There were days when there was lots of stuff to eat and days when there wasn't, that kind of stuff. But that fits into a parallel as well, as there were days when there was lots to do and there was days when there wasn't.
Mm.
And it's like my days are full of what to do.
Yeah.
And that idea of having days that would just be peaceful and still is such a kind of rarity. That it's something, and it took me right back to, I'll stop prattling in a minute, you have to go. It took me right back
To do nothing for a while, actually.
To do nothing, yeah, listen to me, yeah. Eat, Pray, Love. And there's a wonderful scene where they're in the barber shop, and there's a guy who's actually called, his surname's Spaghetti, and he is talking about this wonderful thing, which is la dolce far niente, which is it's the sweetness of doing nothing, the art of doing nothing. And what he was saying was, because he was talking to the American, but I mean, he could say any of the Europeans really generally, but he was saying that, you know, you spend your life working your butts off in crazy times, and rather than actually having time where you can just be.
Yeah.
And there's something about when you're in Italy and people, they move at a different kind of pace. You know, I know if you go to Milan or you go to any of the centres, you know, I mean, you're in a city, okay. But generally, people are at a much more relaxed level. They take time to walk, to talk, to be with family. And they don't appear to have the same level of stress and the need to do that we have here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not very good at this either. My life's getting busier and busier by the week.
Mm-hmm.
There's quite a famous classic story that I actually saw on, someone shared it on Facebook just a couple of weeks ago, about the Mexican fisherman.
Yeah, I've shared that a few times.
We've talked
times
about
in different
show,
ways,
so
yeah.
The basic premise is that there's this guy sitting doing nothing in an afternoon, enjoying
it. It's just fishing and just relaxing.
Yeah, and this businessman or this tycoon millionaire comes up and asks him what he's doing. He's saying, I'm just chilling, you know, I've caught me fish this morning, sold them, made enough to get by, just relaxing. And he's this guy, the brain of the businessman starts kicking in, thinking, well, haven't you thought about getting maybe a bigger boat and catching more fish, and then you can sell more fish, and then this, that, and the other, and then you can have this empire and loads of boats.
Have a canning factory.
Yeah. And then he's like, well, what can I do? Well, then you could sit here and relax.
Yeah, because he says to him, and if you did that, you could do absolutely anything in the world. What would you want to do? And he says, I want to come and sit here and fish.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm.
So, and how many times do we see people that are working their butts off towards this thing called retirement when they're then going to be able to do this thing that they want to do?
Mm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Where do we learn to be in the present? Why do we have to be doing to get to a point of being that most people never get to anyway?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, we're all just on this mad conveyor belt at the moment, aren't we? Just kind of more. But we all want the same end game, which is just to kind of be able to chill out and relax, spend more time with our families. You know, if you speak to people around the world, wherever they are, what religion, what colour, whatever colour they are, generally people just want to be able to kick back, spend time with their kids, their families, enjoy life, eat food,
But if that was true, so why aren't they doing it? If that's true.
Why aren't they? Why aren't we doing it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We'll come on to that. What do you find solace in relaxation? So you meditate twice daily, right?
I do the meditation, but I also, in my consulting room, I've got a guitar. There's always one in the corner. And in between people, I'll just blow a few lines, man. Do a bit of bluesy, jazzy stuff and just kind of let go and chill out.
Well, I'll skip on the notes then because there's a blog on zenhabits.net. Really good website, actually. And there's one on the art of doing nothing, and it talks about some different things that your regular blog posts that I was looking at didn't see. And it was talking about the creative side, letting you, because you don't just have to learn to meditate and sit there and do nothing. The creative side, which a lot of us, even me actually, and I'm a creative person, you know, I make a living off my creativity, inverted commas. I don't spend much time sitting sketching or doodling or drawing or painting. I'm always busy being creative to earn a living, you know, churning out websites and stuff. But the art of being creative, whether that's strumming on your guitar or just doodling a picture or sketching whatever in front of you, or singing, or is something that we kind of impose on and encourage kids to do. But when you get to be a grown up and you're a serious person, you don't sit there doodling, do you, or strumming on your guitar for half an hour? It's a waste of time, isn't it?
Yeah, waste of time.
Isn't it?
See, that's what I like about cooking.
Cooking as well, yeah, great shout.
Cooking is just, to me, just being able to chill. Like, at the end of the day, especially if I've had a long, hard day, to go into the kitchen and just spend some time cooking a meal. Usually it's too late and I shouldn't eat that late and all that kind of stuff. And people have often said to me, do you want me to make you something when you're finished? And it's nice when people do that, but there's something about them not doing it and me going in the kitchen and doing it, which gives me time to chill down.
Yeah, I'm the same. Oh, no, I quite like cooking for a lot of people, and but I like to do it. You know, get out of my way.
This is my kitchen.
So I'm going to have half an hour on my own here just to kind of get things ready.
And making bread is a good thing. And I'm doing the sourdough, so it's a 3-day process, really. But you have to feel the dough. You've got to tune into the dough. If you don't get it right, it comes out like a brick.
Yeah.
If you get it right, it comes out really light and yummy. You know, and I'm learning so much about different kind of temperatures and flours and different kind of hydrations and stuff like that. It's amazing. But that is a good focus for me.
Yeah.
I'd hate to be, I've actually cooked in a restaurant, but the idea when you're cooking in a restaurant, you lose the joy because it is like a factory.
Well, yeah, it's the same with me, I guess, in my posters and leaflets and websites that I, you know, it's scratching that creative itch, which, you know, I've just got, I'm just good, I'm reasonably good at that stuff. And since school, I've been good at drawing and art and that design. I've got an eye for layout. But, you know, I don't love designing websites. I'm not relaxed and in the moment when I'm doing it. It's a job, you know, or it's become that way, at least, anyway. I mean, yeah, if anyone's out there that needs a website, do give me a shout. And I'll pour my heart and soul into it. But, yeah, I mean, I guess the difference between design and art is that design has that commercial side. You know, you're not doing it just for the love of it, you're doing it. You know, because, you know, there's businesses that rely on my work and the stuff that I do to look the part and be functional.
Yeah.
So I need to take it seriously. It's a job, isn't it?
Yeah. But that's okay, as long as within doing the job you take enough time out to be yourself. And that phrase is just amazing, isn't it? It's like the sweetness of doing nothing. You know, and it's amazing when you do have those days, and usually it is, for most people, it's only holidays when they go away and they find they've been sat by the pool or whatever they've been doing, and suddenly hours has elapsed, and maybe they've just been lying there, maybe reading a bit, shooting the breeze, and just chilling out, as opposed to having something to do.
You know? Yeah, and we're lucky we have this place up in Northumberland, our caravan, where we can go and proper unplug, and there's no electric connection in our caravan, like, so you're off grid. I can get 4G now on my phone, which I'm a bit, because I'm not good with my phone, like, I do use it way more than I should do, like, I'm fully conscious of that, And I can't resist the temptation to, when I'm on holiday now, be connected, which is not healthy, which is weird. I do it anyway. but we do have this little oasis we can go to and unplug, and, you know,
yeah,
I'll let clients know that my way, and, you know, only get in touch if it's an emergency, that kind of thing. But do you think a lot of people have the kind of week, 10 days, 2 weeks in the summer? Do you think holidays are relaxing by default, or do you think some people have...
And some holidays are madder than being at home, aren't they? It depends on how you do it. The other thing that you get a lot, I get a lot, is people that go on holiday and do actually stop, and then they suddenly get ill.
Yeah.
And usually that's because the levels of the stress hormones in their system have been fighting off infection, whatever, and suddenly they let the barriers down, and they go, nah. And it all comes out, the stress comes out in a cold or something.
Yeah, that's quite, happens a lot in teaching, I think, is it's pretty full on life teaching, but you get these gaps, obviously. Every 6-7 weeks, you get a week off or 2 weeks off or more in the summer. And it's full for, it's 100 miles an hour for that, those 6 week blocks of teaching, and then it's switching off. But then, yeah, a lot of, like, Bethan will get migraines or get ill during the holiday period because she's.
Yeah,
this kind of switch. I think we got part of the work that I'm hoping to do with Rethink on not just walking and cycling, but kind of redesign. A lot of it has got me thinking about how we need to rethink work patterns and how busy everyone is, you know.
But you know the thing in Sweden where they want to reduce the working day to 6 hours?
Yeah.
And they've got evidence in their research to show that if someone only does 6 hours work a day, they do more work than if they work for 8 hours or 10 hours.
Yeah, productivity levels go up.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. No, I've been looking at that, and Tanya and I, who's setting up Rethink, of kind of working on this kind of shared goals thing, and we want to be working 10 to 4. Is business going to be the office hours, assuming we kind of build a business that's kind of functioning, which is still up in the air a little bit?
Now that's funny, you're working 10 till 4, because on Tuesday I worked 4 till 10. I mean, that is mad. And it's like my whole thing about doing some kind of semi-retirement thing to slow down a bit. I am doing too much, and I need to stop doing too much.
4 till 10, wow.
That was
pretty full.
Crazy, yeah. And it was virtually back to back. I did have to actually drive out to do a home visit and drive back again. But apart from that, it was just back to back.
Did you enjoy the solace of the drive? Because a lot of people, you know, I rail on against, you know, driving as a not the healthiest of things to do for many reasons. But a lot of people, for their commute, which might be 45 minutes an hour in a car on their own, is probably quite a... The favourite part of their day.
And it's like the chilling down time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and lots of people do say to me, I really like that bit of my day.
Yeah.
You know, I try and get them to do the evening focus meditation, evening review. So you go through and just dump everything out of the day before they leave the car park. It's like 5 minutes, and it changes your mindset, changes your drive home. But you tend to leave the negative stuff at work.
Wow.
And go home clean, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Zen habits as well. One thing it talks about is bath time. Now, I'm not a guy that has baths. In fact,
I don't do baths.
I can't remember. I've probably had like less than 10 baths since I was a kid, I would say. It's just I'm a shower guy. It's just in and out. You're a shower guy too.
Yeah.
But when I have had a bath, it's generally because I'm quite ill, and I feel like it's a good way of kind of flushing toxins out of the body, whether or not it works. A good hot bath. But it's amazingly relaxing, isn't it? It's quite resource heavy in terms of heating, I guess, and a lot of water involved. But,
what happens is, it's to do with the ions. When you have a hot bath, you get lots of positive ions, which actually make you feel sleepy and lethargic. If you have a shower, the effect of the water hitting the air creates a lot of negative ionization, which actually wakes your brain up.
Right.
Now, I don't mind that, because I'll have a shower before I go to bed sometimes, but that actually does make me feel more awake. But I'm awake in a relaxed way that allows me to, rather than being thick and heavy and like going to sleep, I'm much lighter as I go to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I prefer that feeling.
The blog post says The bath must be night. It actually comes with a disclaimer for the bath stage. Yeah. It says, do not attempt this until you are ready, kind of tongue-in-cheek. Mm. It says, the bath must be nice and hot, not lukewarm, but hot. Bubbles are also required. Even if you are a man who is too manly for this, just don't tell any of your friends. Other bath accessories, such as a loofah sponge, bath gels, potpourri, are optional, but recommended. And I guess that kind of that tongue-in-cheek bit plays into the fact, not just the fact that... Well, the thought that baths aren't for men. It's kind of playing on the fact that relaxing and doing nothing isn't something that's generally promoted in life. You know, we're supposed to be busy, we're supposed to be doing stuff. There's that story.
Life is hard, life is earnest, get on with it.
Yeah, exactly. The story about, you know, in certain countries, a guy at work staring out the window is, like in our country, is kind of goofing off. He should be at work replying to emails, whereas in a country like Japan, apparently, that man is working, or that woman is working. Yeah, they're thinking, they're clearing their mind for other things, or they're contemplating a problem.
Yeah.
And that act of staring out of a window is productive, you know?
I go with all that. I think that is very real. And it's like, if I do manage to have a day that is clear enough for me to be writing, I like to stand up when I'm writing. And that means I can move around, and I might actually go and stare out the window for a while, then come back and write a few paragraphs.
Yeah.
And then focus again, you know, and do some more. Mm.
Yeah. So how do we transition to this stuff? Because as with all habits, it takes time, doesn't it? You can't just flick a switch. I mean, I've heard about rich folks going on holiday and old people really, but like to really swanky like safari holidays in South Africa where you pay a lot of money for these retreats. Mm. And the people that work at these retreats notice that generally it takes 3 or 4 days for these business people to start to come out, get that out of the habit of being busy and checking emails all the time.
But it takes the time for the endorphins or the stress hormones and stuff like that to come down into a softer pattern.
Yeah, so that's part of the reason why a holiday of a week or 10 days isn't really enough, is it?
Well,
it
can take 2-3 days to get yourself down into it.
Mm. And then you have this 2 or 3 days where you're maybe getting into the nice relaxation stage, but then you start to...
And loads of times when Ree and I go away, we might take a week out, a long weekend or something. And when we get to the end of it, I'm always at that point where I think, I'm just relaxed enough now that I could stay for another week and really enjoy this.
Yeah.
And then we come back again.
Yeah. No, agreed. We're going away for a week very shortly, and that'll be the same for me. Mm. Last time we went away in April, actually, for the first time, I didn't check my emails for the whole week, and I didn't even think about it. Usually I'm quite like... Oh man, something might be there waiting. But the thought didn't even occur to me at any point. Mm. I'm going to check my emails. Because they had an autoresponder on saying, I'm away. I'm with my family. I've got my laptop, but don't contact me unless it's a digital emergency. Is that very, and no one did. And I got back and checked my emails, and there was nothing too serious there.
That's good.
So it's cool, man. It can be done, can't it? If it takes time. As with all habits, but yeah, I mean, to really build these habits in, we're talking 30-90 days as ever, aren't we?
But it is a commitment to lifestyle.
Yeah, and the real cultural issues that we need to address here, which I'm really fascinated by at the moment, that take time. And you know, it might be a case you're working with businesses and organisations like the NHS. I'm going to start hopefully working with our Chamber of Commerce and World Council, really, to start culturally kind of get this stuff ingrained so that, you know, I'm pissed off with the school run because excuse my language, that's how pissed I am. it's just car soup everywhere, man, and everyone's in a rush trying to get places.
Yeah.
And yeah, cool, I'm trying to close the roads down, you know, cards on the table so to make it safer for us. But ultimately, we need to what I need to do is to work with businesses so that people have time to walk to school with their kids in the morning, and then they're not in a rush to get to work. So it's the 10 to 4 thing. It's the Monday to Thursday. Maybe we should be working 4 days a week.
Yeah.
We need to start chilling out a bit, man.
Yeah.
What do we really want from life, you know?
Yeah.
Agreed?
Yeah, I agree.
All right, cool. Send an email to your councillor or your MP. Get to work, guys.
Yeah.
Have you got a resource then?
Well, my resource has to be the film Eat, Pray, Love, which is there's lots of stuff about the idea of being able to let go of the madness of life and just being able to be for a while.
Yeah.
And it comes at it from several angles, not least of all that scene in the barber shop.
Yeah, I've seen the movie. I haven't seen it for ages, so I don't remember. I need to rewatch it.
Yeah, you need to go and rewatch it.
Yeah, I'm going to recommend Seinfeld, because that is kind of it's a show about nothing. That's how it was kind of built. It's just people. There's no hugging, no learning. That was the motto on set when they were writing it. And also, shout out to Nintendo, because my current thing to do when I need to relax and just switch off completely, weirdly, is play Super Mario Odyssey. Just jump around and finding moods here and there, superpower moods. it's a proper creative act. You should have a go at it.
Is Nintendo the art of doing nothing?
I think so, yeah. It's just beautiful, just hopping around, finding moods here and there and exploring.
You'd love to take me on a trip.
I will do one day. Right, livingthepresent.co.uk, all the show notes and links are there. Send us an email or a message on social media. Facebook page is a good way to get in touch with us if there's something you would like us to discuss.
Sounds good to me.
Have a good week, Sean.
And you. Take care.
See ya.
Bye.